with tonight's guest, University and director, Audrey Phillips.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Heart Medicine. I am Mark Couture, and now your host, the MC, the master of games, Hippo Voltaggio.
I am so looking forward to this conversation with our guest tonight, and then, of course, our musical guest as always. But I started, this week I had an interesting conversation when I went to see a friend of mine, and she had a friend of hers visiting who was just leaving. But as I walked in, he decided to stay a little bit. And in the middle of the conversation, she said something, so how's life coaching going? And this man says, you're a life coach? And I said, yes, why? And he said, I'm looking for a life coach for my son. And I said, really? He said, do you think you could help my son? And I said, I don't know. What is going on with your son? He says, well, I've been threatening him to throw him out for the past 10 years because all he does is sit on his phone or sit on his computer, and he just spends hours and hours on his computer. And I keep telling him, get a job. And he just won't listen to me. So I'm thinking maybe I'll get him a life coach. And I said, well, what is he doing on the phone or what is he doing on the computer? And he said, I don't know, you know, kids today. And I said, well, I do know kids today, actually, and I've worked with many of them, and I know some of them are quite brilliant, actually. And some of them are doing some amazing things on the computer. I said, you know, like your son, for all I know, could be an amazing artist. And he got quiet and said, he is an amazing artist. And I said, he is. Where does he do his art if he spends all this time on the computer? Of course, I knew the answer at that point. And he says, well, he does it on the computer. And I said, really? He says, as a matter of fact, I have some here. And he showed me this amazing art on the computer. And I said, your son does this on the computer and you want to kick him out? And you're telling him to get a job? I said, he could probably make a ton of money right now with this because I haven't seen anybody do anything like this before. And I said, he said, do you think you could help him? And I said, I don't know if he's the one that needs the help. I said, you know, if you've been trying the same technique for the past 10 years, threatening to throw him out, Audrey's, you're nodding your head.
Yes, I'm laughing.
So threatening to throw him out. Have you thought of maybe you needing a life coach? And he kind of chuckled, and then he didn't want to think about that because his son was such a problem to him. And I said, you know, actually, I could work with your son, but what if your son discovers that he wants to work on a computer for the rest of his life, and maybe he needs, for some reason, permission from his father to be the artist he's come here to be. And the man got quiet. And he started to leave, and he said, give me your phone number. And he walked out. So that just happened. So I haven't heard back from him yet. But my friend said, he called me, he said, boy, that guy's tough. I think I'm going to hire him for my son. So what I'm excited about is not necessarily about working with this one kid who's an artist, but putting out there this message with this artist that we have the opportunity to talk to here on the Life Changes Show and start thinking about things that we don't understand differently than we've been thinking about them before. And I'll talk more about that when we come back on our show. We're calling our show Uniting Art and Science. And our guest is Audrey Phillips. Our musical guest is Heart Medicine, and that's made up of Anne-Marie Soule and Karen Seva, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo sitting here with Mark Lejour.
Wow, what an exciting night. What an yes. amazing story. And I couldn't help but think of my son while you were telling that story. And how one of the best things I've learned how to do is to just shut up and let him be and let him create and watch that magic unfold.
Well, he learns a lot from you, too. So it's a good relationship.
Thank you. What an exciting show, not only because we have Audrey Phillips and Heart Medicine, but this is our first show in Vortex Dome, L.A., and I believe the beginning of something very, very, very special of bringing this conversation that matters into community VR format, and many, many exciting things ahead, which we'll let that unfold. But
and Audrey's here also because...
That's exactly why Audrey's here, is because she's one of our key partners, creative directors, co-creators, artists in residence, and we're going to learn a lot about that tonight.
She is a visual designer, she's a director, she's a 3D animator, she's an immersive media specialist. We could go on, because she's worked with so many of the largest companies that are at the forefront of this, including Vortex Media, Disney, and DreamWorks, and Rhythm and Hues, and Sony, and like I said, we can go on, but she's here. So first off, welcome Audrey Phillips to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It's so special to have you, and especially at our first show at the Dome.
Yes, I love the Dome. I mean, remember the first time about 6 or 7 years ago I walked into the Dome, and Cade McCallum, who's one of the Vortex Immersion people, she said to me, Audrey, would you consider putting up a few visuals on the Dome? And I can introduce you to a composer, Winter Lazarus. And I said, sure. And then that turned into me for 3 months working with Winter to create this first Dome show. And it was thrilling. And after we did it, you know, we had performers and I put up visuals and the whole bit. After we did it, I felt like, you know, I can die now. I really felt there's so much more. No, I know, but I felt like I've really experienced something wonderful, and I've really in some way gotten to some core in myself and really realized my own possibilities, my own potentiality.
Nice.
By doing that. It was...
Well, thank you, Kate, and thank you, Ed Lance,
yes,
and
Ed,
thank you,
C3,
and and Vortex Media. Absolutely. And that's the idea of this show with you, is that there is so much more, and even you are even you are discovering it as you create more.
Right.
And speaking of first times, the first time I was in the Dome, I got to see a demo, and in the demo was, I believe, Robot Prayers, right?
Yes, it was.
So I later learned that it was you who did that.
Right.
And then I met you, but it was very briefly, and as you walked away, I just thought, wow, she's like Leonardo da Vinci. So when we were speaking the other day about this show, I mentioned to you Leonardo da Vinci, and you said, well, that's interesting you should say that, because this is a renaissance in a way.
Yes, you know, I just found a word that I really hadn't known until the other day called a polymath.
What?
A polymath. And it means people who are curious and interested in a lot of things. And
I'm one of those.
Yeah, you're obviously one of them. And so many artists and many scientists are polymaths. And Leonardo da Vinci obviously fits into the category of being a polymath. And artists and scientists have that in common. They're both trying to explore and understand the universe and how it works.
And if that isn't hard enough, I have to mention this, because tying into the monologue, and the reason I thought of saying that is because I am sure, like this kid, Leonardo da Vinci had people looking over his shoulder and saying, flying machines, he's crazy. And probably actually telling him right to his face. And so with you and the creations that you're doing, I'm sure a lot of people don't understand what's happening.
Right, but you have to be led by your passion. You have to be led by awe.
Nice.
And I think if people allow their children or allow kids to be led by that. When I was a child, there were things, art and music, that just filled me with awe. And that's probably why I'm an artist. And then when science and technology came into my world, I was also very curious about those things too. So you were asking me what led me to be an artist, and I couldn't answer you right away, but now I realize it's just following your bliss, following your awe. And it's almost a cliche. And when you lose the feeling of awe in your life about anything, that's when you know you're in trouble, basically. So you have to hold on to that. You have to hold on to your passions.
You know, a lot of people ask God or spirit, universe, like, send me a sign, and they think it's going to be like a lightning bolt or something like that. And even when we were talking before the show, and you were saying, well, there wasn't like a major moment
that where I decided that's what it is. And then when you reflected on it, there was a minor moment that it was so subtle. What were you doing?
Right. I always knew I was going to be some kind of an artist. I didn't quite know what kind of an artist. I kind of ruled out being an actress because I thought you don't look good enough to be an actress.
Oh.
So I put on other ideas, but that wasn't my bent anyway. But I remember I was in about sixth grade and I was doing a sculpture. It was just a sculpture with some wood chips, and then I hung this like little orange piece of chalk in the middle of the wood chips. And for some reason, to me, that was the most magical, inspiring thing.
Mm.
And that at that moment, I knew I was going to be an artist.
That's
that
beautiful.
Was it.
So subtle. So do you still have that?
No, I don't have it. I don't have it. I know the memory. And actually, I realize I've duplicated that in many different ways in animations.
Wow.
I've made these very complex structures and swung things through them. And so it's, you know, people have themes. And when you find that you carry them throughout your whole life, you keep doing them in different ways.
And if it's something that you like, knowing that theme and enhancing it makes it even more exciting.
Yes.
If it's something that you don't like, then knowing that you have that and working with it to get it out of there.
Right.
And then going after your awe. I like that.
You have to go after your awe.
And speaking of awe, you say something about, you know, like I said, this is a Renaissance. Well, in the traditional Renaissance times, people were looking to go deeper, further in ways that had not been done before. But you say this is man and woman's human search of all time.
Right. I think we kind of have an instinct is what it's occurred to me. Why do we want to live other lives? We have an instinct to live other lives, to experience other emotions. I think this is at the core of why we're imaginative creatures. We probably, in the early days, just did some performances. Then we wrote books. Then we did movies and photography. And now we're all the way up into immersive media. So it's really a continuum of this instinct and this desire to live other lives, experience other places, experience other emotions. And it might be a way that we have to increase our own consciousness.
Interesting. Well, when we come back, actually, we're going to be talking about something so new that most people don't even know about it and certainly haven't experienced it. However, you brought to my attention how some of this has actually been around for a while. It's just that the technology hasn't caught up or what have you. So I look forward to hearing and you sharing.
We've been computationally challenged before. So there were a lot of things that we wanted to do that we couldn't do that now we can do.
Now that we are no longer computationally
challenged.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll be right back with more with Audrey Phillips on the Life Changes Show. And a little later on, Heart Medicine Live here at the Dome on the Life Changes Show when we come back.
Hey, guys. So I'm here to tell you about a little thing called the DNA Institute. You probably haven't heard of it yet, but I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success. And unfortunately, I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute made me lose 30 pounds. This is not a lie. That completely happened. It doesn't matter what exactly your situation is or how much you have to lose. The Institute will get you to your goal weight. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a real doctor-prescribed custom medical treatment. It rebalances your hormones, heals your metabolic and digestive system, and makes your higher functioning brain so loud that it becomes impossible to overeat when you're full. Whew, it's a mouthful, but yours won't be. So many of my friends and family turned to the DNA Institute after they saw my success, and all of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I promise you, this is different than anything you've ever tried before. They've been in Beverly Hills since 1982. You can even give them a visit, drop by, or just head to their website, DNA.com, that's DIENNET.com, to learn more and get your customized formula made today.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark LeJour, and of course, our guest, Audrey Phillips. And like I said, we're going to be talking VR, AR, and what you're doing with technology here, especially here in the Dome, in a way that's never been done before. And yet, you enlightened me on something that I thought was actually quite funny for some reason.
Right. Well, there's a continuum. What we're doing now is just a continuum, like we were talking about before, of what's been done in the past.
Right.
Only now we have the computational power to accomplish a lot of things that we couldn't do before. A lot of people were trying to do immersive media, and they were stopped because of that. But early on, in around 1780, someone named Robert Baker, an English painter, started making these panoramas that went all the way around the cylinder. So that you were kind of surrounded. You'd stand in the middle of the cylinder, and you'd be surrounded by this painting in the proper perspective. And that was, so you were immersed in this whole thing. And actually, I don't know if it's still, but there was one of these cycloramas in Hollywood. It might still be there on Sunset Boulevard. I'm not sure. I'll have to check that out.
Interesting.
Yeah, but so right away, people were trying to immerse, just even with paintings, immerse you.
Mm.
And then in around 1900, the French had some kind of world fair, and they sent up a balloon. And around this balloon, they had video or cameras taking photos.
Wow.
All around the balloon. Like,
just the Google facing, car.
Like a Google car up in the air taking photos. And this to make, or taking video, actually, I think.
Right.
This was to make the first kind of VR piece, actually, when you think about it.
Wow.
They only did it once. There was some kind of an accident with it or something. I'm not sure what happened. But it was done one time, this idea. This sending up this balloon, so, you know, putting cameras all the way around the outside of it. And doing it, and so it was wonderful. And then there was also somebody in around 1957. I guess his name was Morton Hellig. He did what he called the Sensorama, and actually Disney bought some from him. And it's rumored that there's one still hanging out somewhere. But what it was he wanted you to experience a kind of a immersive thing. So he made this kind of a box. You sat in front of the box on a chair, you stuck your head into it, and you had a stereo movie running all around you that you could see. He sent in wind, he sent in sound, he sent in smell, all to create some kind of immersive environment for you. And for some reason, it didn't really take off, but it was quite unique. So you could almost say that was probably the first VR piece. And he's considered maybe the father of VR because of that.
Really? Wow.
He also did a lot of other inventions, and one of his other inventions was something that looked like a HMD, like a headset, a VR headset. It looked exactly like a VR headset that he had patented.
You know, maybe he didn't continue because either he was computationally challenged, or maybe somebody told him that he should stop, and he was being ridiculous. And actually, before we move on to what you've been able to do, you stopped doing some of this for a while.
Yeah.
And you were in, you're smiling because you know where I'm going. you were actually was it a graduate school?
I was an undergraduate.
You're undergraduate.
And I was in the fine arts department, and Carnegie Mellon is going to kill me for saying this. But I was in the fine arts department, and I had taken one of the early computer animation classes there, maybe the first, with a wonderful man named Nelson Max, one of the early pioneers. And he had suggested that I get my master's in it. I had done an animation with him. And I thought, wow, this would be wonderful to go get my master's in computer animation, right? And so I applied through the art department, and I was rejected by the whole art department because all the teachers said that anything done on a computer was not art. And my only regret is I didn't save this note from them. So
right.
After that, it did take me a while. You know, I came to LA. I got involved in movies and films and rock videos and all kinds of things. And it really wasn't until the 80s that I really got back on computers again, early 80s.
And had they not rejected you, we may all be at a different point right now.
Well, I don't know if I would say we would be, but I would have been at a different point. It would have been great. So I do have, but no regrets in this life.
Yeah, we don't know, but it's
interesting. You have to move forward. Whatever path you take, as long as you grow, it's okay.
Nicely said. Well, here we are now in the very dome where you are artist in residence. And so you're creating, well, one of the coolest things is Robot Prayers,
right?
Which is actually you and beyond you.
My vision for Robot Prayers is basically to have a collaborative art and entertainment piece. I really want to work with other artists. And its mission is to creatively illuminate the possibilities of the future, which goes along right with what we're talking about now. So we have dancers, we have composers, we have musicians, we have singers. Unfortunately, right now, I'm basically the main artist. So if any other artists want to join Robot Prayers, love to have them come along. We have some tech people.
Yeah, go to robotprayers.com, right?
Go to robotprayers.com and join in with the collaboration. We've done a few performances. We have a few more performances coming up. We haven't, maybe one in a gallery, another one in the dome. We haven't set dates for that yet.
And actually, if people want to see that, not only do we have it up on the page that we've created for Audrey Phillips, but also at Robot Prayers, but you have a huge Vimeo. Oh, this is so cool. I'm not used to this yet. We're okay. Excuse me while I get excited. We're experiencing it in the dome while we're talking. Wow.
Yeah, this about doing things in the dome and in these performances. You can do a lot in a dome. You can not only project the animations onto the dome itself, but you can do interactive things. Performers can move, and you can have things happen with the performers moving. You can do motion capture, right, where the performer is wearing sensors, and they're controlling a little animation. We're going to have them controlling robots on the dome at the same time.
Wow.
You can map the performers. You can map virtual sets. In fact, we did a piece here for a dance company not long ago, and which we created with virtual sets. Basically, the dance company might be under arches, and the arches would be moving along, or they might be in a city scene, or they might be in a totally abstract world. So I would call these virtual sets. And then you could also, of course, map actual pieces that were on the stage, too, and turn them into other things.
Wow. We've called the show, thanks to you and what you were sharing with us way before the show started, but Uniting Art and Science.
Right.
So tell us, because this is awe-inspiring to be sure, but there's more happening and more available to us than just the entertainment aspect of it, right?
Right, absolutely.
From what you're doing.
Right. There's a lot of issues about artificial intelligence that's happening now. Our lives are changing, and this is a chance for people to explore the ethics of AI, to explore the possibilities of artificial intelligence, to create total fantasies. I mean, Robot Prayers is really an envelope for a lot of different stories that people can tell in different ways that can approach all these different subjects.
And so science has something to learn from the artists now as well.
Right.
Scientists are imagining things beyond what they normally would have.
Well, art has always in some ways preceded scientists. Robots were imagined in many ways by filmmakers, by writers, by even the early Greeks
Greeks.
I think in the period of the classical Greeks, there were some god that had a robot or something. We can put it up on the website, more facts about it. But the early Greeks, Metropolis had a robot in it. Isaac Asimov was probably the first writer to use the word robot in one of his pieces. You know, also, really, when you talk about technology, you really have to me, science is almost a study of the way the human mind works. Right. When you think about it, we're just studying how our mind perceives the universe, whether this is really what the universe is or not. We're studying how our mind is perceiving it. And so one of the important things that we're also studying that has such a big part is the way our vision works, because our minds initially, I've always read, were formed based on our sense of sight. Another alien creature might be totally alien to us because their intelligence might have developed from another sense.
Mm-hmm. And even animals.
Or an animal. Yeah. Maybe a dolphin. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Where did a dolphin's brain develop? Was it more from sound than it was from sight? you don't know. So this could, you know, this is kind of an interesting thing, studying where people's and animals' intelligence first developed from. You know, I like to think also about the word vision, okay?
Vision.
Because vision and how our mind works is so important. But when you think of the word vision, what I like about the word vision is that vision means not only a physical capability, you have vision, mm-hmm. but it also means your imagination.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
You have visions. So this kind of duo meaning of vision is very telling. And I like how the English language and other languages, too, are actually, because of having existed for so long, are much more intelligent than any human being. Another word I like is feeling.
Feeling?
Feeling is something, a physical thing, and feeling is also an emotion that you actually feel in your body.
Wow, yes.
So they're two interesting things.
Okay, so what you're saying is making my mind go a million miles a minute. But what's being projected on the dome is like this right there, actually, this face over here. That's the main robot in Robot Prayer, right?
No, just in this particular piece.
Oh really? So there are
lots of different forms, organic, non-organic, strange looking, you know, whatever you can imagine.
Whatever you could imagine,
and
actually.
Just, and different. That's why I'm inviting people to write stories. I've written some stories about these different creatures, and I'm inviting people to write other stories that we can then put into Robot Prayers.
Oh, we're going to have to talk
about different creatures.
We're going to have to talk. But for those who do have stories and who do want to connect with you on Robot Prayers, they can go to robotprayers.com.
Right.
And they can see a lot of your work at vimeo.com/Audrey.
Yeah.
AUDRI.
Right.
Okay. This is such a wonderful conversation. I love what you're bringing into it, what you're tying into it. Where does the heart fit in? I know you said vision and you said feelings. Where does the heart fit in for you in all of where we're headed with
this? I guess, well, I go back to the sense of awe and beauty.
Ah.
You know, that's, I make things that, I like making things to me that fill me with awe, that fill me with this sense of beauty when I make them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, beauty is not a word that means pretty flowers.
Mm.
It's something else. It's something you see that inspires you, that fills you with feeling. And that's kind of what most artists, not just me, propels them on. They make something and they go, wow, this is really cool. And then they make something else and they go, wow, this is really cool. Because you're having so much fun making things, and that's really where creativity is. You allow yourself to have fun. You don't sit in judgment on yourself. You don't say, stop, this is no good, right? Sometimes when I do that to myself, I just say, I'm going to make the worst piece of art I've ever made. It's going to be terrible. This is going to be the worst animation on the planet.
So you take all the expectation off.
Take all the expectation off and then just do it, basically.
And that can apply to everything.
Right.
Every single thing. So somebody doesn't have to be an artist or an AR artist or VR. They could be anything in their life and they can use that technique.
Right.
And they can be in awe with the moments that they live, the experiences that they have.
Right. They just, I mean, it's such a cliche. I mean, we all say it. You're supposed to be in the moment. You're supposed to be there experiencing it and all that.
A cliche that more of us could live
right,
and live happily.
Definitely including me. I get really stressed out sometimes, you know. Like all my artist friends, I have a lot of wonderful artist friends who are also involved in this media too. I can name Anne Greenberg. She's been involved in this media for a long time. Janie Fitzgerald, Jackie Morey, Jay Walt, John Adam Adamczak, and other artists that have just, Maya Beaton, a lot of other artists have been doing things. Of course, people have also been doing things on the producer end, like Kate and Ed, Kate McCallum and Ed Lance, mm-hmm. and Mark.
Yeah.
So
Mark Legere, our very own Mark Legere.
Right.
And I'm glad you mentioned those names because I have a feeling years from now, we'll come back to this show and we'll say, look, this one went on to do this and she went on to do that and all of that. And so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I'm just grateful to the support from my friends, really. That's why I mentioned them because they've all been so supportive. and wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. We have a couple more minutes when we come back with our guest, Audrey Phillips. But again, robot, I don't know why I'm saying it, robot. That
right.
sounds so hard.
Robot.
Robotprayers.com. And a little later on, we're going to have Heart Medicine performing live. And before that, Dorothy Donahue is going to be joining us for our Ask Dorothy segment, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Audrey Phillips. And, you know, one of the things is that this conversation in a few years or maybe a few months, it's going to be more more people will be talking about it, and more of the words that you've used already will be in our languaging. But at the moment, I have to say to you, you've said some words before on the phone and actually just now during the break that I have not understood. So I'm going to ask you if you could just share with us, because I have a feeling they're so important, they're going to be part of our vernacular as we go on. One was depth mapping.
Yes.
Computer visioning.
Right. Scanning.
Visioning.
Computer vision. Scanning.
Computer vision. And then motion capture.
And scanning. It's all.
And scanning.
In some ways, you know, technology is changing so fast, I really can't keep up for it. I do a little bit of research for a company called Stratus Systems, which helps me keep up with it. And I also do some writing for Intel, which also helps me keep up for it. So, but I can't.
So nobody can.
Nobody can. Okay. It's just changing so fast. But one of the most important aspects of all of it, almost at the root of everything, is something called computer vision. And at the root of computer vision, one of the most important aspects of computer vision is depth mapping, is scanning. For example, a robot, if it's going to see where it's going, it has to know where things are placed in the environment. If you're going to have a car that's going to drive itself, it has to know where things are placed in the environment. If you're going to be doing any kind of volumetric video, you know, capturing three things in 3D, which is what people are doing now,
mm-hmm.
you know, real scenes in 3D, and then they're taking those real scenes that they're capturing in 3D, and they're adding in CG to it as well, kind of mixing all of this stuff together, you need to have depth mapping for that. And, you know, depth mapping uses different tools. You can, for example, do volumetric video by setting a ring of cameras around the subject. Okay, very expensive way of doing it, but you can do it that way. High-end places do it that way. You can also set sensors around something to pick up the depth mapping. And so this will give you either a mesh with color information, you know, computer mesh, or it will give you a point cloud, a very dense point cloud that will also give you computer information on color and all the other things that you need to.
You know, Audrey, before we go, I'm listening to you talk about this and I'm thinking, I think there's something we take for granted that already does all that for us. Is that our eyes?
That's our eyes, right.
That's right?
Right.
What?
Right. We're just trying to recreate ourselves.
Wow.
Really, when you think about it, that statement, it's not that I'm religious or anything, and God created man in his image or whatever the deal is. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are we trying to do? And it's almost, on some levels, it's almost a shame. It's not a shame, it's exciting, but we have all these people, all these wonderful machines. I hate to call people machines, but wonderful machines that we're wasting, yeah, that are miraculous, that can do all these things.
Wow, and we take it for granted.
And we take it all for granted.
I do.
Right.
Well, thank you for enlightening us in
the
way.
Well, thank you for enlightening me. I mean, you're a great interviewer. Thank you.
Thank you. This has been amazing to have you here, especially on our first show at the Dome.
I'm honored. Yay.
Audrey totally Phillips, honored. What a pleasure. Robot Prayers. I said it right. .com.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, okay. With that, we... have our Ask Dorothy segment.
We have our Ask Dorothy segment, but I thought I'd mention on the heels of that conversation how interesting it is that the EU announced their first ethics report on AI today, starting to set standards of AI development.
Wow.
Ethical AI development. So,
wow.
Yeah. Great discussion.
Good point. Thank you, Mark.
Dear Dorothy, this is Monica from New York City, and I want to thank you for the help you have given me and the world through the Life Changes show and the private work that you do. I was a real mess when I met you 10 years ago, and I have changed my life for the better. My 30-year-old best friend is still contemplating suicide, and I devote several hours a day to talking to her, encouraging her to find ways to want to be here on Earth. It has taken me 10 years to get her to admit that she is anorexic. I am so worried about her. I want her to get mentally healthy so together we can help others want to be here on Earth, just as you helped me choose to love life and to pursue a career as a healer and a life changer. I am discouraged and am becoming depressed again and feel helpless in this situation. What can I do to change her? I love her so much as she has been my lifelong friend.
Monica, if you haven't given your friend the National Suicide Prevention Hotline phone number, please do so immediately. It is 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. And now, dear Monica, please remember this basic truth. The only person we can ever change is ourself. You can't change your friend. You can only change you. It may be time to do things a little differently. Hours and hours of daily conversation about suicide with the suicidal person not only hasn't helped her, it hasn't helped you. What you may wish to do instead is set up a healthy boundary by setting limits on what you are willing to talk about. You have shared with me that you refuse to have the same conversation over and over again with your clients because you know it doesn't serve them to repeat their stories. It doesn't serve your friend to do so either, and it is influencing you in a way that is not in your highest and best good. I suggest that you first choose loving you as much as you love her and find a way to stop worrying about her. Worry is simply a form of fear, and it serves neither one of you. Monica, you can continue to have conversations with her if you change the subject matter. You could talk to her about the things that interest you, just as you talk when you are having conversations with your happier friends. You can continue to tell her how much you value your friendship and that you look forward to the day when the two of you can build a business together helping others. And let's remember that contemplating suicide is a desperate attempt to escape pain and suffering that has become unbearable. She needs professional help to shine the light on her feelings of hopelessness. You could help her find a support group where she can attend to get the tools she needs to shine the light on the true cause of her pain and suffering. You can also talk to her higher self and send her love. Unfortunately, the number of suicides is increasing dramatically. So one good thing you can do for you and your friend is to find a support group for yourself or start one for people who have suicidal people in their lives. The most important thing you can do is choose to set yourself free from the daily conversations that are increasing your depression. And just as you do with clients experiencing other kinds of dis-ease, let's find a way for you to visualize her healthy and happy instead of spending time worrying about her. You are a powerful and amazing healer, and I know you will find a way to help her by helping you do things differently.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Heart Medicine, live on the Life Changes Show right here and now after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and Dorothy and our guest Audrey Phillips. And joining us here at the Dome are our musical guests, singers, songwriters, and duo, Heart Medicine. You know, actually, we called the show Uniting Art and Science. We could have called it Uniting Heart and Music. Our guests are Anne-Marie Soule and Karen Seva, and together they are Heart Medicine. Welcome both to the show.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you. It's great to have you here. And I, you know, Karen, we had the pleasure of having you on the show actually a few weeks ago as a solo act, and you were great as a solo act. And the irony of it is that together the two of you are like more than the sum of your parts. Or I don't know, that didn't sound right. More than, yes, so.
Well, that's kind of, I think, the movement into this new era that we're birthing into. You know, with the merger of technology and spirituality and the merger of humankind. So we're not in an age any longer where it's about the lone wolf or it's about one of us alone. It's about coming together in collaboration and creating something even more beautiful and something that we haven't seen before.
And actually, you have a story about that, something about Anne-Marie's song, right, that she had written?
Yes. Well, it's one of the songs that she wrote, and she sang it for me, and it was just so beautiful, it moved me to tears. And then when I sang it, I was even further moved to tears because I understood love in a different way. And that understanding was that it was about the interaction of more than one. We can't fully know love without the reflection of someone else. And through the giving of her love through writing that song and then my reflecting that love back, it created this synergy that was just so heart-opening to me.
Anne-Marie, you were nodding your head. What was your experience with that?
Well, for me, it feels like in general, it's just such a time of coming together. It's like we're more powerful when we're together. And I remember the first time singing with Karen and then hearing our voices together and that space that we enter together, that was something bigger than just me alone and just her alone. So we've kind of been mesmerized in that space together, singing together.
You know, actually, after connecting with Karen, and she says, I do this duo with Anne-Marie Soul, and I went to go check it out, and I was distracted, and I pushed play on something, and I thought, what is that? The two voices came together, and it almost sounded like one in a weird way. It's like, how are they doing that?
Yeah.
How are you doing that?
We're listening to each other.
Ooh.
We're tuning in.
Wow.
We're hearing each other.
And truly, it's that, you know, our expression of song is a divine channel. And so we just get into the same channel, and then it's both of our voices being sung through.
Nice.
And that's the opportunity we have now as humankind. When we're in service to something greater, we come together with a shared intention, and then something greater moves through us like a symphony. And we all are just willing participants in that.
So now, already just in what I'm hearing, it sounds like Heart Medicine already, and you haven't even sung anything yet.
That's right.
And how did that come about, Heart Medicine?
I had met Karen a couple of times, and I knew she was a singer. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, would you like to sing with me? Your voice is beautiful. And she was like, yeah. So she came over and started singing on my songs. And then she was like, can I play something for you? And I was like, yeah. And then what came from her blew my mind. And it was in that moment that I immediately just started singing on her music. And we felt in that moment that something was happening here. There was something bigger than both of us happening here. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of grown from that space together.
And so Heart Medicine, like healing, healing a lot of things.
Absolutely. That's our intention, you know. It's to bring heart and to bring communion and to bring ceremony and to bring a space where people can come together for healing and for connection.
And it's healing through sound vibration. And Anne-Marie is an amazing yoga teacher and does a lot of work with cleanses. And I also do life coaching and work with women who want to open their voice and have a more authentic expression. So it's through the way we live and also through our partnership that we seek to be vessels of healing and upliftment for those who we come in contact with.
Nice. Now we're going to get to hear a song, a couple songs, hopefully, but you're going to not only be singing, but you're going to be playing instruments. And Anne-Marie, you're going to be playing the guitar. And I remember, Karen, when you were on before, you brought that beautiful little instrument, and I want to say chimichanga, but I know that's not the name.
It's a charango.
Charanga. Okay, I was close.
Very close.
Okay.
Chimichurri, you know, there's all kinds of little.
Either way, it's good. So with that, here is Heart Medicine, Anne-Marie Soul and Karen Seva performing Sat Narayan.
Sat Narayan.
Yes. Sat Narayan.
A mantra for clearing of the space and blessing of the waters. So we offer this as a invocation and blessing for your show, this being its first time here. May it grow and blossom and reach many and open many hearts and touch many lives.
Thank you.
Da da da.
Heart Medicine, Amna Risol, and Karen Seva, thank you so much.
Thank you
for the music and sharing that with the audience, but dedicating that to us at the Life Changes Show. Thank you. For those of you who want more, you could go to singtheworldawake.org, actually, which is Karen's organization, but the Heart Medicine duo is there as well. And you'll also find that Anne-Marie has an album. It's Back to the Garden.
Yes.
And Karen has an album, and it's Sing the World Awake as well. So singtheworldawake.org. Thank you so much. You know, obviously, you're listening, because you're certainly not looking at each other. Both of you have your eyes closed the whole time.
So we're feeling each other.
Yeah. You're feeling each other,
yeah.
Yes.
And we can hear each other, but inwardly. Yeah. So it's being very tuned in to what's happening. Yeah,
yeah, you're tuning in to something. That's
and it's
for
available
sure.
for everyone, you know, this depth of connection. And I think it's really what the soul is searching for. When we learn how to really be connected with each other, that fills that void that people are experiencing.
Mm. Mm. Interesting, because a lot of times we're looking out to see who sees us or who feels us or can you see me, you know, and you're saying we can reach more sometimes.
We can remember.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice. Look at that smile. Proud of yourself. You know that was a good one. Proud of you. I'm looking at the two of you, and the first thing I wouldn't think of is tribal chants and mantras and mudras and all that stuff. So how did you two come to incorporating all of this, blending all of this into your original songs?
I think our lives have led us to this place, like all of our spiritual practices, the yoga, the meditation, the kundalini yoga, the hatha yoga, nature, and all the ceremonies that we've been in. Everything has sort of informed what we bring musically. And so we pull and we source from all of these places that have been healing for us, that have brought us strengths and healing. And so in our uniqueness, we just bring all of that together. So we celebrate all traditions, you know.
Nice. And actually, it's interesting you should say that, because at first I was thinking, oh, they do like kirtan or something, the way I thought Karen was described. Yeah, you're shaking your head. No. So what makes this different? Because you do something like that. You guide people in singing along and all that, like kirtans do.
Kirtan is, by definition, a call and response chanting in the Hindu tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't do so much call and response. We open like a ceremonial container where the music comes out of our spiritual practices. So it's as though we've connected with these lineages, which then we're blessed to have the frequency sing through us. And in our opening of sacred space, then everybody's invited into that. So we have everybody sing along, but it's just a different kind of, it's a different vein than kirtan.
Well, before we move on to the second song, I have to say, Karen, I saw you on Facebook talk about everybody. It was thousands and thousands of people. How many people were you singing in that last thing
did? That was 7,000.
7,000?
And
okay.
And the day and the before, night before was 12,000 or 15,000.
Crazy, great.
It was amazing, and what a lot of energy. And for me, the peak moment was with those 7,000 people, having them chant this particular Latin mantra, Lumen de Lumine, which invokes the light from the sun and the angelic realms to bring heaven on earth, and to have all the people chanting that and calling in the energies. Because right now we're at the threshold of a great shift in human consciousness that's fed by the infusion of so much light into this earth plane. Mm. So we're all doing it in our own unique ways. And this is how we participate. We tap into this channel and we let the energy move through as a blessing to the earth.
Well, let it move through. Actually, the second song that you're going to do, is this the song that kind of jump-started everything together with the two of you?
Well, not jump-started, but this is the one that I cried when Anne-Marie sang it. This is the first one she wrote to me, or like to our collaboration.
Okay. Well, here is Heart Medicine, Anne-Marie Soul and Karen Seva performing Give Love live here at the Dome on the Life Changes Show. Thank you.
to give love as if love is the only love you ever know. Love, 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 sweet.
Medicine, Anne-Marie Soul and Karen Seva. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
We both.
Wow. Oh, did I mention harmonies? Harmonies. Harmonies. Your harmonies are different. Can we talk to just 30 seconds? Tell
sure.
us about
the... Well, I mean, most people in music use harmonies as an emphasis point, but we like to sing in harmonies for everything. So it's kind of like one voice. Everything. I mean, sometimes we get so lost in it, we'll practice a new part to the song, and it's like we're being imprinted by it, and we'll just sing it again and again until we laugh and we can't even remember where we are.
Wow.
It takes us to some wild spaces, you know, as we're like harmonizing into that channel.
Well, here at the Vortex Dome LA, it was easy to go into a wild space while you were singing that. So how perfect that you both were here on our very first show here.
Yay.
Thank you so much, Heart
Thank
Medicine.
You.
And if you want to learn more, sing The World Awake, singtheworldawake.org. Mm-hmm. And then there you'll find Heart Medicine, and Anne-Marie Soul has an album, and Karen Seva has an album, and there's an album coming about the two of you together?
Yes.
Well, we're working on it.
Okay.
We're getting the material together.
Okay. Well, well, then we'll have to talk again then.
We'd love that.
Looking
Great.
Forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And also a big thank you to Audrey Phillips again for being our first guest here at Vortex Dome LA. Wow, we did it. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. So filled with gratitude to everybody that made this possible. So many people that we've already thanked, but we should thank again Kate McCallum and C3 and Ed Lance and Vortex Immersive Media, and a special thanks to our own Mark LeJour. And a big, big thank you to our technical director, Ian Downey, and our production engineer, Kaylin Holmes, for bringing it all together for us here. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Lejour, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.